In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6, the wise man Solomon said, to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he'll not depart from it. No doubt the goal of every parent here is the goal of guiding their children and raising them up in the direction that they should go. So that when they have left our home and they've grown up and they have families of their own, that they are still going in the direction that God would have them to go. They're still living lives that are pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. But if our children are going to go in the way they should go, it requires us to train them in that right way. And as we've noted every week, there are no perfect parents. There's not a parent present here that's never made a mistake, whether it's in discipline or in the neglect of our responsibilities to teach our children. And no doubt as we go through the series of lessons and we talk about the responsibilities that we have, we'll all see that there's room for some improvement. There's room for some growth and to do better in certain areas. And not only are there no perfect parents, there's no perfect children. It is not possible to have a child that's perfect, that doesn't need any guidance in any direction. A child that's left to himself will be a source of shame. And I say that to emphasize the fact that if our children are going to be what we want them to be, then we're going to have to guide them and train them in that direction. We can't just leave them to themselves and hope that they're going to turn out in the right way. In our first lesson, we noticed some basic principles that children have been given to us by God. That as a parent, it's my responsibility for raising my children. I can't give that responsibility to someone else. That godly children, I believe, can be raised. If God tells me to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then children can be raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But just because I'm faithful doesn't mean my children are going to be faithful. I've got to guide them in the right way. And we shouldn't take for granted the fact that if I'm a Christian, my children are going to be Christians. Or if I'm faithful, my children are going to be faithful. And if you want to know how to raise a child, then the very best way, source you can go to is God's Word. There's many books that are written about how to raise children and many opinions that have been given. But if you want to go to the correct source, you go to the Word of God. God's way is the best way to raise children. Then we talked about the fundamental principles, that prayer is an important part in the raising of children. Praying for wisdom, praying for strength, as we raise our children, praying for our children and praying with our children. Be what you want your child to be. Set the right example. And in any area of life, if you want your child to be a hard worker, for example, you be a hard worker. If you want to be somebody that's faithful in attendance, your child to be faithful in attendance, then you be faithful in your attendance. And we could go on and emphasize. But in what you want your child to be, that's what you need to be. Start early, don't delay. Raising godly children begins very early in their life. Provide an environment of love and be consistent in your instruction and in your discipline. And then in our last lesson, we talked about disciplining children. And what the Bible says about the use of the rod in order to guide the child in the right way. And I want to continue this morning by talking about raising godly children by teaching them the Word of God. Raising godly children by teaching them God's Word. Now, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through verse 3 talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he goes on and he gives instruction to the fathers. And the instruction of fathers was, fathers, raise your children up or bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And we talked about the discipline last week, but there also has to be given the instruction of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord, if children are going to grow up and be what we want them to be. But you know, before we can teach our children, we have to understand that there are certain prerequisites for teaching. Now, if we might illustrate it this way, you know, if someone was to go down to the school system and apply for a job, there are certain requirements they have that one has to meet in order to be a teacher. Certain prerequisites that they have to meet, requirements that have to be met. And if one doesn't meet those requirements, then they're not qualified really to teach. I think the same thing is true relative to parents teaching children. Before we can talk about the specifics of teaching, we have to understand there are certain qualities and characteristics we have to possess. Now, I believe those qualities are talked about in the passage that was read for us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And one of the prerequisites to teaching your children, before you can worry about the specifics of what do I need to teach them or how frequently do I need to teach them, you need to understand that first you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. In verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or all your strength. You see, before you can be an effective teacher, you have to be someone that loves the Lord yourself. Jesus later would identify this passage as the great commandment in the law. You remember when he was asked, what's the great commandment in the law? And he referred to this passage in Deuteronomy and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind or strength. What Jesus was saying is that every other command really falls under these categories. If you want to meet the commands to, for example, to raise up your children the way you should go, you need to start by loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You know, we need to learn to speak the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. And I think there's probably a couple of things that are included in that. I think it no doubt includes the love with which we teach that we have for the object that's being taught, for the one that we're teaching. But I think part of speaking the truth in love also has to do with a love for the message itself, a love for the Lord himself. And if we don't have a love for the Lord, we can't effectively teach our children. Now, you can teach your child to the need of putting God first. You can go to passages like Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and you can talk about that, how the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Or you can talk about having to put the Lord before money. But I tell you, if in your own life, what your children observe is somebody that doesn't love the Lord with all his heart and his soul and his mind, you're going to be ineffective in trying to raise them up in the right way. A prerequisite that Moses gave here was loving the Lord with everything you have. A second quality that is necessary is the word must be in your heart. Go back to that passage again in the book of Deuteronomy. Do you have your Bible still open there? Look at verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart or in your heart. What he's saying before he gives the command to teach them diligently to your children is they've got to be stored up in your own heart, in your own mind. You know, you can't teach effectively what you don't know. I would be a terrible chemistry teacher. I don't know anything about it. I did take it in school some years ago, but now I've forgotten all that I learned. I would be a terrible teacher. You know why? Because I don't know it. It's not the only thing I'd be a terrible teacher at, but there are a lot of things that you don't know either. And if you don't know it, you can't teach it. But you know, that principle that applies to chemistry or algebra or pre-calculus, it also applies to God's Word. You can't teach it if it's not on your heart, if it's not in your mind. In the book of Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, or have I stored in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The idea of hiding or of storing is a treasure that is placed there for protection. And what the psalmist said is God's word has to be in our heart. It has to be treasured there and stored there. I want to tell you, as a parent, unless you've got God's Word stored in your heart, you can't teach it effectively to your children. In the book of Psalms chapter 37 and in verse 31, David said in describing the righteous person, he said, the law of the Lord is in his heart, but his steps do not slip. Are you that kind of person that God's Word is in your heart? It's in our hearts, by the way, when we meditate it and we study it and we determine to live by it. The godly man in Psalms chapter 1 and verses 1 and verse 2 is described as the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. In other words, he thinks about God's word. He's guided by the word of God. You want to know how to effectively teach your child? I tell you, before you can worry about the content of the teaching or the method that you use, you've got to be sure you have the prerequisites down. And the prerequisite is you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And you have to have God's Word in your heart. And God's Word has to direct your life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verses 8 and in verse 9. When he said concerning God's Word that you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, all these points are obviously closely related. But I think one point he's making when he says there are signs on your hands and as frontlets between their eyes, and you have them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, is your children need to see that God's Word is what guides you everywhere you go in every area of life. The Jews had taken these passages and they had actually made laws concerning writing the scriptures on the doorpost. You'd touch it as they go out sometimes, and they talk about, you know, bless me, am I going forth and am I coming in? That's not what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. You're not talking about literally writing the scriptures on a doorpost or literally writing them as signs between your hands as in the New Testament they had done with the phylacteries that the Lord talks about in Matthew chapter 23. What he's saying in that passage is God's word is something that guides you in every area of life. I want to tell you, if your children see you pick up God's word and they see you come to church and they see you talk about loving the Lord and worshiping God the right way, but when you get home, they see you fold up your Bible and lay those principles aside, then you're not going to be very effective in teaching them. If they see and observe you that when you go off to work, you can forget about the biblical principles of putting the Lord first, then you can forget about raising your children up in the right way. If you want to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, if you want to teach them God's Word, it begins with them seeing God's Word lived out in your life. And every decision that is made is based upon the Word of God. I think that's what verse 8 and verse 9 is about. It's not about writing the Scriptures between your eyes or on the doorpost. It's about taking it with you and living by it in every decision that you make. Those are the prerequisites to being able to teach your children the right way. But if we have the prerequisites down, prerequisites. What about the content of the teaching? Let's say that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my strength. And I try to live by it, and I know God's word well myself. What am I going to teach my children? And then if we talk about the content, we talk about the reason and then the method that we use in doing that. Well, let me say the content of our teaching is that we're trying to teach them the word of God. We're trying to teach them God's word. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verses 6 through verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. He said, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." What he's saying is what they need to be taught is they need to be taught God's word. You know, there are things that in life that we learn that we'll never need again. You know, sometimes you go through school and you take a class and sometimes you wonder when you take it, well, when am I ever going to use this? And sometimes we may not realize the value of it yet and we may need it later on. And the reality is sometimes there are things we learn that we may never use again. But I want to tell you, God's Word is something our children need to be taught because from the time they're young until the time they depart from this world, they're going to need God's Word as a guide by which they conduct their lives. And therefore, it needs to be taught diligently to their children. In other words, they need to pierce their hearts with God's Word. Just a few chapters over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 18. Chapter 11 and verse 18, Moses again said, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children." And again, he talks about talking to them when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. But what he's saying, you teach these words of mine. What is it I need to be teaching my children? I need to be teaching them God's word. I need to be teaching them the word of the Lord. From the time that they're able to understand, we'll emphasize that point again in just a moment. We need to teach them the Holy Scriptures. That is the word of God. But in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14, I learned that Timothy was the kind of man that he was because he'd been taught the sacred writings or the Holy Scriptures. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. It said, "But as you continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed or have firmly accepted, knowing from whom you have learned them, and how that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, from childhood you've known what? The Holy Scriptures. No doubt Timothy knew those because he had been learned them from his mother and his grandmother. Do you remember in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when the apostle Paul talked about the sincere or the genuine faith which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and he said, "I am persuaded is in you also." They had a genuine faith. They had a genuine love for the Lord. And that love that they had in Lois and in Eunice had been passed on to him. And I think when he said, knowing from whom you learned them, that no doubt Paul is included in that. But I think as it reaches all the way back to childhood, he's saying, remember your mother and your grandmother and the genuine faith they had. Remember, they taught you these things from the time you were a child. And we'll emphasize that point a little bit later, but children can learn the Holy Scriptures. They can begin, that foundation can be laid in their hearts and in their minds. What do I need to teach my children? I need to teach them about the Word of God. I need to teach them the Holy Scriptures. The content of my teaching is I need to teach them about the works of God. Go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78, beginning at verse 2. This is one of the great chapters about teaching children. And what the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 78 in verse 2 is, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises or the glorious deeds of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He has done. What do you need to be teaching your children? You need to be telling them about the wonderful works of God. In fact, you know what happens when children don't know about the works of God? Go down to verse 11. When he talks about how they not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation that did not keep the covenant of God, they refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. You know what happens when we forget about the wonderful works of God and the Lord's glorious deeds? What he said happened here was you had people that drifted away from the Lord. Do you remember the passage in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10? When it talks about the fact that after Joshua and the generation that was contemporary with Joshua died, it said there arose after them a generation that knew not God, listen, nor the things which He had done for Israel. You know what they had forgotten? They had forgotten about the wonderful works of God. If you go, by the way, to Psalms chapter 78, and if time permitted, we could go through that chapter. But what he talks about is he talks about the deliverance out of Egyptian bondage. He talked about how God had provided for them food in the wilderness. He talked about how He had rained down manna and quail for them to eat. And he talks about the plagues, as we said, of Egypt. All of those spoke to the wonderful works of God. And our children need to know the wonderful works of God. I think some of the very early lessons that we learned as children, and some of the very first lessons that your children no doubt have learned or will learn, are lessons that come from the Old Testament that just tell about the wonderful works that God has done and the power that He possesses. Whether it's the plagues of Egypt and how God could turn water into blood, or the flies and the frogs and the lice and the hail and the boils, and then ultimately the death of the firstborn. Or the parting of the Red Sea by which people could pass over on dry land. Or the parting of the Jordan River. Or David and his defeat of Goliath. I mean, we could go on and tell about the wonderful works of God that hopefully implant in the minds of our children a faith and a trust in the Lord and in His power. And I tell you, it was much we emphasized the wonderful works of God and the stories of Noah and David, we need to tell about the wonderful work of God through Jesus Christ that came to this earth and lived and died that we might be saved. What do you need to teach your children? You need to teach them, the Bible says, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. You need to teach them about the wonderful works of God, all of His glorious deeds. You need to teach them what it means to fear the Lord. Psalm chapter 34 and in verse 11. Psalm chapter 34 and in verse 11, David said in that verse, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And then he goes on, he describes what fear means, but I need to teach my children the fear of the Lord. And I believe one thing that's emphasizing is, I tell you why it's important that my children have an academic knowledge of God's Word. I need to teach them what it means to live by God's Word. I need to teach them what it means to truly fear the Lord in the decisions that they make. And so I need to teach them that fearing God means keeping His commandments as is said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 14. I need to teach them, as the psalmist would say over in chapter 32 and in Psalms chapter 32 and in verse 8, that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I need to talk about the way they should go and how they need to live their lives. That's teaching them the fear of the Lord. And so it's about teaching them the stories, about the works of God, but also teaching them about the fear of the Lord. I need to teach them about the faithfulness of God, the Bible tells me. Go in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah the 38th chapter, and in verse 19. This is Hezekiah after he had his life extended. You remember how Hezekiah was on his deathbed and he prayed to God, and God extended his life for 15 years. And here's the praise of Hezekiah after that moment. And in verse 19, he said, The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to your children. That word that's rendered truth is actually a word that means truthfulness or faithfulness. In almost every translation outside the King James and the New King James, render that passage in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 19, that the Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. And that's the idea in that passage. Not just that we teach the Word of God, but in other words, they teach that God is one that can be trusted. God can be relied on. When God says something, God means it. That's the idea of Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 19. One of the sad parts of that story would be that in that next 15 years, Manasseh was going to be raised up, and he didn't know about the faithfulness of God. I don't know why he wasn't faithful to the Lord, but he was one of the most wicked men that ever reigned. But I need to teach my children about God's faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 6 makes the point that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, then why can they trust the Lord? When things are hard and difficult and they're faced with trials later on, why continue? Well, because God is faithful. God can be trusted. You can rely upon the Lord that whatever He says is right. What does the Bible say? I know I need to love the Lord first and I have to have that Word in my heart, but then what do I teach to my children? I need to teach them the Word of God. I need to teach them the Holy Scriptures. I need to teach them. And by the way, sometimes as parents, I think particularly as children get older, let me make this point. I think it's important that as we teach them, they see the Bible in hand. You know, Bible story books are good when children are young. But I tell you what, if all they ever see out of us is reading some book that somebody wrote or some workbook that somebody else has written, then I think we miss something. They need to see the Bible in our hand. They need to know that what we're teaching them is the Word of God. And there is no substitute for the Bible itself when it comes to the teaching of our children. And we need to emphasize the Bible is different than other stories. You know, sometimes I think early on, and maybe even mistakes that I myself made, is you know, you'd sit down at night and you read to your children, and you know, you pick up a book about Elmo and we read it, and you lay it aside, and we pick up a book about somebody else and we read it, and then we pick up a Bible story book and we read it. And we need to emphasize the Bible's different. It's not a fairy tale that's made up. It's not a story that's there just simply for entertainment. There's a difference in and we need to emphasize to that. There's a difference in those things that are read for entertainment. Yes, the Bible's an interesting book, and there's some fascinating stories that are told along. But I tell you what, it's a true book about things that really happened. And it's something that I need to learn to live by. I need to teach them about the faithfulness of God. I need to teach them about obedience to authority. When I teach them the Word of God, and I'm raising them up in the instruction of the Lord, I need to teach them to obey their parents. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. The wise man Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Just a couple of chapters over in chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, "My children, hear the instruction of a father and give attention to no understanding." You know what Solomon is saying? Son, listen to me. Hear what I have to say. And I tell you, part of teaching children the right is teaching them obedience to authority. That begins by parental authority. I think there's one reason that in the Bible, disobedience to parents is always connected with a lot of other bad things. I mean, you look at Romans chapter 1. I don't have that passage on the chart, but he talks about homosexuality and murder and all those things. And right in that list, there's disobedience to parents. And when Paul described the difficult times or the perilous times that were coming in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the verses, it actually covers more verses than verse 2, but verse 2 mentions the disobedience to parents. Well, why is that a sign of difficult times? Why is that a sign in Romans chapter 1 that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the reason is when you have disobedience to parents, I'm going to tell you, you don't have respect for authority. And when you don't have respect for authority, then that spills over into other areas. And I tell you, part of teaching my children the Bible is teaching them about obedience to authority. Teaching them the Word of God. That's very broad. Teaching them the Holy Scripture. More specifically, I need to teach them about fearing God. And I need to teach them about the wonderful works of God, that they may appreciate all that He's done in times past for His people and even now for the people of God. I need to teach them obedience to parents. And I need to teach them how to maintain their moral purity. In the book of Psalms 119 and verses 9 through verse 11, the question is raised, how shall the young man keep his way pure, is actually the more appropriate translation of that passage. How should the young man keep his way pure? And the answer is by giving heed according to thy word. Do you know the Bible gives instruction about how to maintain their moral purity? And I need to teach my children how to maintain their moral purity by telling them principles about modesty. I need to teach them principles early on about how they behave around members of the opposite sex. I need to teach them about choosing the right kind of person to date and the right kind of person to marry. Do you know instruction about maintaining moral purity is found in the Word of God? Read passages like Proverbs chapter 5 and 6 and 7. And what that'll tell you is it'll tell you how to maintain their moral purity. And I need to take and I need to teach that to my children, because that's what God's Word will do. And so I know I have to reach the prerequisites first. I need to know God's Word myself. I've got to live by it myself. I've got to love the Lord myself. And let me just say this too. Not only do I have to love the Lord because my children probably as clearly as anybody can see hypocrisy. I think children have the ability to look behind the facade that's put out for other people and they see hypocrisy as well as anybody. But let me say, I think part of making the gospel message exciting is when people see that we love it ourselves. Now, sometimes I think we worry, whether we're talking about in Bible class or we're talking about church, what can we do in order to make the Bible exciting for them? And sometimes that leads people even to do things that shouldn't be done. But I want to tell you, the best way to make the Bible exciting is when we're excited about it ourselves. When our children see that we love the Lord and that we love to study the Bible, then that kind of enthusiasm and excitement is contagious. And so, how do we do that? We need to love the Bible ourselves. And then I need to teach them these principles that we've talked about. Why do I want to do that? Why is it so important that I do that? You know, some people today have suggested, if you teach your children that way, then you know, it's almost like brainwashing them. They don't have a choice. Well, the Bible says there's a reason we teach them that way. Man ultimately has a choice, but there's a reason God has assigned to me that responsibility. And the reason is that I want them to serve God when He's old. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child the way he should go, and even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I don't know how long this world's going to stand. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But, you know, if I live to see the time that my children are older at least, then I tell you what, I want to see them serving the Lord. I want to see them doing what's right. And if I'm going to do what's right, then I better train them right now. And so that's the reason I need to teach. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, someone may take and they may think, why do I need to begin teaching this child that is, you know, reading the Bible story to them? She's 6 months old. She's a year. What's the purpose in that? The purpose is we're looking beyond what they're going to be doing at 6 months and a year and 2 years old. We're looking to what they're going to be when they get old. And when they're old, I want them to serve the Lord. And if they're going to serve the Lord when they're old, then I better do my job right now. I tell you what, I want them to enjoy the blessings of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. You got your Bibles open to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Remember we said, going back at verse 18, we'll begin there. He talks about you shall lay these words up of mine in your heart and your soul, and you bind them as signs on your hands. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates. Now listen to verse 21. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Swore to your fathers to give them. As long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all His ways, holding fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispose nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on the sole of your foot tread shall be yours, your territory. He goes on and he sets that all the way through the rest of that chapter. But you know, he says, you teach them diligently to your children. Why? Because you want your children to be blessed. You want them to enjoy the blessings that come from obeying the Lord. In this case, it was the driving out of the enemies and the possession of the land. But I want to tell you, I want my children to be blessed by the Lord. We don't live in the same kind of kingdom they lived in the book of Deuteronomy. But you know, the Bible still tells me that serving the Lord is the way that leads to blessings. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, and that thou may live long on the earth. You know that when children are guided in the right way and they serve the Lord, they're going to be blessed by that. It makes for the best life here. Not to mention the blessings of brothers and sisters in Christ, the blessings of being able to go to God in prayer in the times of trouble, the blessing of knowing that no matter what happens, you can have a home in heaven. Serving the Lord makes for the very best life here and in the world to come. And I tell you, why do I need to teach my children now? That they might enjoy the blessings of God. Why do I need to teach my children? Go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Why do I need to teach my children now? Because I want my grandchildren to serve the Lord. Now, I don't have grandchildren yet. But you know, if the world stands and things go as they normally do, my children will grow up and they'll get married and they'll be grandchildren somewhere down the line. That's typically the way things work. I tell you, when that time comes, I want to see grandchildren that grow up and serve the Lord. And so what psalmist said, look in Psalm 78 and verse 6. He talks about commanding the father, teaching them to the children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. Why do I need to do my job right now? Because I want grandchildren that are someday going to serve the Lord. I look back and I think about the fact that somewhere along the line in all of our lives, somebody took the opportunity to teach the Word of God to their children. It may be that your parents were Christians, and then they passed it on to you. And then you in turn can pass it on to your children. Or it may even be that your grandparents served the Lord. But somewhere along the line, somebody took the opportunity to teach God's Word. And because of that, you're a Christian. Even if your parents were not Christians, somebody passed that on. And if I want next generations yet to come to serve the Lord, then I need to teach my children now. I want them to set their hope in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Why teach your children? So that they may set their hope in God. That they'll learn to trust Him and rest their hope in Him. That they'll keep His commandments in verse 7. Because I don't want my children to turn out like ancient Israel. And then what he said in verse 8? That they may not be like their children or like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not right or not steadfast, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Why do I need to do my job? Well, I tell you what, I don't want my children to be like ancient Israel. I mean, you look at what happened in ancient Israel, and you had a generation that was dedicated to the Lord, and they loved the Lord, and they went in and they conquered the promised land, and then the next generation arose that knew not God. And I don't want that story to be told either in my life or in the lives of any parents here. And because of that, what the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 78 is don't hide it from your children, but tell them the glorious deeds of the Lord so that they don't turn out to be like ancient Israel. Well, it starts with me loving the Lord first. And then I need to teach them about God's Word and maintaining more purity and fearing God and all of His glorious works. And I do that because I'm concerned about what they're going to be when they're old. I'm concerned about the next generation because I don't want them to be like ancient Israel. But how do I do that? How do I go about doing that work? Well, let's talk a little bit about the method. Let me just say, first of all, with age-appropriate instruction, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from him. A way conformable to him. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Colin Dalek say, and comment upon this passage, that the passage means give to the child instruction conformably to his way. And the instruction of youth, the education of youth, ought to be conformed to the nature of youth. The matter of instruction ought to regulate itself according to the stage of life and its peculiarities. The method ought to be arranged according to the degree of development which the mental and bodily life of the youth has arrived at. In other words, what they're saying is this passage when it's talking about train up a child in a way conformable to him or in the way he should go, is part of the meaning of that is there's instruction that is given that fits that particular time in the child's life. And when we think about raising a child up in the way he should go, I think part of the key is, first of all, with age-appropriate instruction. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is I wouldn't want to take my 3-year-old and try to explain Daniel 8 to them, you know, in the 70 weeks vision. Nor would I even want to take my 7-year-old and try to say, now, we're going to study the Bible every day, and I hope when we're finished you understand the book of Revelation. What I need to do is I need to give instruction that is appropriate to that age. And it may begin by telling some of the stories of the Old Testament that, and the New Testament as well, that are designed to develop faith and trust in the faithfulness and the power of God. But I need to give them instruction that fits that particular point in their development. But let me make another point. While it's equally important that we don't try to take Revelation and teach it to our 4-year-old or Daniel, because that's not what they need, it's also important that we understand at a certain point that children need to move beyond that. And I have seen parents at times whose children grow up and they come close to the teenage years and they still don't want to talk to them about maintaining moral purity. And they don't want to talk to them about things like modesty and fornication. And what they need is they need that instruction at the time. In other words, that's what's appropriate for them. I remember preaching a sermon one time on modesty. And I'd made the point about, you know, how young girls need to understand that the way they dress has an effect upon young men, and how men can be more visually stimulated than what women can. And had some friends that got the thing, and their daughter, they turned out, she don't need to hear that. She just doesn't need to hear that. And here she was approaching her teenage years, and that's not appropriate. I remember I had a lady one time that had a son that was about 12 or 13 years old, and the granddad died. And she said, but now, we didn't tell him anything about hell. We don't want him to know about that just yet. I want to tell you, there comes a point in time as children grow and develop that what they have to hear about is they have to hear about sin. They have to hear about maintaining their moral purity. They have to know there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if they're not taught that, then we may reap the benefits of that or the results of that. Benefits, or reap the results of that later on. What do we need? There has to be age-appropriate instruction. And so I start with one thing when my child first begins to hear the Word of God, and then as they grow and they develop and they come to other points in their life, I need to adapt that to what they need at that point in maturity. And if I don't do that, then I may fail. I'm going to tell you, the story of Noah may be very important in teaching a 5-year-old, but I tell you, when your kid gets about 12 and 13, all they've heard about is Noah, and all they've heard about is Abraham, and they've never heard anything about godly living and righteousness in your teeth, then you've made a mistake. It has to be instruction appropriate to the instruction. Begin teaching them God's Word early on. We've emphasized this point more than once in our series. And we may have one more lesson, I'm not sure just yet. But you have to begin early. You remember what is said in the book of Timothy? We start from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. It comes from a Greek word that is rendered brephos. So there's brephos, and it means a newborn child, an infant, and a babe, is what that term means. And it is used most often in the Scripture, sometimes of an unborn child, that is a child still in the womb, as in the case of the Lord in Luke chapter 1, or John the Baptist, and of a newborn babe or of an infant. And that's why in commenting upon that passage, Barnes says Timothy had been taught the Scriptures as soon as he was capable of learning anything. In other words, when you talk about from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, some translations render that from an infant. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is the method? Well, the method is I need to give them age-appropriate instruction, but I start early. I tell you, but before they can, as soon as they can learn anything, the most important thing they will learn is the Word of God, and to gain an appreciation for that. You know, I think sometimes it's so sad that some parents put so much emphasis upon learning secular things, and they neglect sometimes what is the most important thing. I tell you, it's fine, and it's great when parents put forth their emphasis when their children are young, and they can teach them the ABCs, and they can teach them their colors and all that. But I want to tell you, more important than any of that is you begin to implant in them an appreciation for the Word of God. And that starts early on. And Timothy was a result of that having begun. What is the method? Have regular Bible study at home. Have regular planned Bible study at home. Bereans study daily, Acts 17, verse 11. We need daily admonition. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. And children need to see that as a daily part of their homes. That's part of diligence. Remember, teach them diligently to your children. Let me ask you a question. Is once or twice a week teaching diligently? If the only Bible your kids ever get is when you say on Saturday night, hey, don't forget to get your Bible class for tomorrow, are you really teaching them diligently? If that's the extent of it, diligently means we're putting forth our best effort. That's something that all of us need to do better at. We need to put forth more diligence in that area. But that means regular Bible study at home, daily Bible study at home. Is teaching them once or twice a week, teaching them to hunger and thirst for righteousness, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we need to have that regular Bible study. By the way, you need to study with a plan sometimes, whether it's taking the Bible and going through the Bible during the course of a year and reading through it and answering questions, or whether it is something else that is done. There needs to be a plan to Bible study as opposed to sort of a haphazard approach where we don't know what we're doing from day to day to day. But have regular Bible study at home. What's the method? Well, it needs to be age-appropriate instruction. It needs to begin early. As soon as a child can learn anything, they need to be taught God's Word. It needs to have a regular Bible study at home. Let me say, with those young kids, if they don't learn anything else, they can learn the habit of studying their Bible every day. And they'll learn much more than that. It's amazing how much they can learn. Attend all the assemblies of the church. I want my children to learn. What do I need to do? I need to take them to every service that's there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We gain encouragement from being here. We gain instruction from being here. And it always amazes me how sometimes parents can't attend every service, and then they step back when their children become teenagers, a little bit older, and they're amazed that they have no interest in spiritual things. They're amazed that they don't attend the way they need to, and yet they didn't put forth much effort themselves. They allowed other things to interfere. You want to raise your children up, have regular Bible study at home, attend every service that you possibly can be there with the Bible class. Teach them to get their Bible classes. Teach them to prepare for those kind of things. Part of raising, put God's Word to practice in your own life. We emphasized that already. But be a pattern of good works. In other words, the method is that of being a pattern. Show that when I teach my children the golden rule and I see him hear what the Lord says. The Lord says, you treat other people like you want to be treated. That they can't turn around and say, well now Dad, is that really what you were doing? You know, I always liked the Andy Griffith Show. See, I can remember more than one episode where, you know, I can remember the episode where they were going to sell the house and he got on to Opie for lying about his bike. And then he turned right around and he did the same thing in trying to sell the house. You know, children see through that. Children see through that. And the point is, it's one thing when we tell them, here's what you need to do. But I tell you what, if they don't see it put into practice in my life, then I'm not going to be that good teacher. The method is such that they can see in us a pattern of good works. So that when we talk about the golden rule, we talk about lying, and we talk about praying, and we talk about studying, they can see it's not just what he's talking about or she's talking about. They're a pattern that they're living by those things. And finally, teach informally when opportunity arises. I think it's important that we have those regular Bible, planned Bible studies in our home. I think the Bible also tells us that when we're living the way we need to live, there are informal opportunities to teach the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about talking about them when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way. And I think he's saying that in life, if we will look, there are opportunities almost every day to teach our children what is right.
First of all, children like to ask questions. You remember in the book of Exodus chapter 13, he had given the Passover law concerning the Passover in chapter 12 and 13 concerning the consecration of the firstborn. And he said, it shall be that in years to come when your children ask, what does this mean? That this is what you say. In Joshua chapter 4, you remember that they had put up the memorial stones. They crossed over the Jordan River, and each of the tribes sent a man back, and they got a stone, and they brought it back, and they piled up those stones. And one of the reasons they did that in Joshua chapter 4, they said, in years to come, your children are going to be walking by, and your son's going to say, Dad, what does this mean? And you're going to tell him about how God delivered you out of Egyptian bondage, how he parted the Jordan River, and you crossed over on dry. You know, many times children are inquisitive about things. Why is this done this way? Why do you partake of the Lord's Supper and I don't? Why? There's opportunities that are all around to teach when questions arise. There are opportunities informally for us to teach when decisions have to be made. That is, when children teach, you know, are struggling with decisions, whether early on or as they grow older, there are opportunities to say, well, let's think about this from the perspective of what would the Lord say? You know, is this what the Lord would demand? When they're talking about how to treat somebody else, again, what about the golden rule? There are opportunities to teach them when we see others make mistakes around us or when a child's conduct is unacceptable to try to say, you know, this is not the way you need that because here's what the Bible says. I guess the point we're trying to make in this last point is, I tell you, it's important to have that structured Bible study that they see in our homes every day. But if as parents, sometimes we would be more observant, there are also many opportunities that are presented in an informal way to remind our children of biblical principles. Maybe even when we see others that are not behaving in the right way. What parent hasn't sometimes going through the store say, now what would happen if you acted that way? Or is that the way that God would want you to act? There's opportunities all around us. And if we take advantage of those opportunities, I do believe that we can raise our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And finally, repetition is key. You know, it would be nice, I guess, if you took your children out and you could teach them one day and then they'd be done. But the reality is it's an ongoing process, and repetition is the key. Do you remember what it said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 where Peter said that I will see that you have a reminder of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. And what our children need throughout their formative years is they need those constant reminders, that constant repetition. And if we do that and we do it well, then maybe it'll be when our children are old, they'll still be on the way that they should go. Get your songbooks out. You've listened patiently this morning. Our time is well gone. But we're going to stand and sing in just a moment the invitation song. And when we do, that'll be the proper time for one that needs to respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, would you become one while the opportunity is provided for you to believe on the Lord? You're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be buried in the waters of baptism? If you do that, you can become a child of God. Serve Him faithfully, and you can have a home in heaven. Or maybe there's somebody that's obeyed the gospel but has wandered away from the Lord. The Lord's waiting. He's ready for you to come back. If you'll just turn from your sins, He'll forgive you of whatever you've done, and you can have your relationship with the Lord restored. No matter what your need is, would you not take advantage of the opportunity and respond right now so that we stand and we sing.